Welcome to They Did It, your official source for information on conspiracies, bizarre beliefs, and the unexplained, with your hosts, Brian Bonner and Jack Hanley. Jack is a historian and folklorist, whose academic milieus include Central and Eastern European history, modern European history, European and American folklorists, and contemporary urban folklore. Brian has investigated paranormal claims for over 20 years and is trained in many related fields, including psychology, electronics, influence and deception detection, hypnosis, and audio analysis. He leads talks and lectures on critical thinking, paranormal investigations, historical research, digital imaging, and supernatural claims analysis. Continue at your own risk. Take us down the rabbit hole, boys.
Welcome, fellow travelers. As you listen to this episode on Monday, April the 8th, there will be a most fascinating natural occurrence happening directly above you. The sky over a swath of North America will momentarily darken as the moon covers the sun completely during a total solar eclipse. In the excitement leading up to this rare celestial event, Space.com noted in their coverage that, quote, "It's not surprising that our ancient ancestors viewed total solar eclipses with trepidation and fear. They were often thought to be dire portents from the gods, indicating the deity's displeasure, or observations of the sun being consumed by fearsome creatures like dragons, which needed to be scared away with loud noises." Thankfully, in our currently, mostly scientifically enlightened times, we have abandoned such supernatural explanations. Or, one might have thought. As the days drew closer to the eclipse, an interesting trend was simultaneously developing across social and online platforms. Namely, that the most searched or mentioned phrase after solar eclipse was most often CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research. Why would a particle physics laboratory on the Franco-Swiss border, established in 1954, be so relevant now, and in conjunction with the solar eclipse? On the platform X, former True News broadcaster, self-proclaimed alt-right Christian nationalist activist, and 2020 Republican nominee for Senate, Lauren Witzke, had an explanation. In her tweet shared by millions dated April 5th, while incorrectly attributing a video of the opening ceremony for a rail tunnel in Switzerland, she pondered, quote, "The CERN opening ceremony was so demonic. Why would they perform a Bride of Baphomet seance while opening a scientific lab machine that tries to recreate the God particle? I'm sure these people have humanity's best interest in mind as they plan to relaunch on Monday." Mostly enlightened times, indeed. Large Hadron Collider or demonic portal to the gods? Join us as we examine the myths and mistruths surrounding CERN on this episode of the They Did It podcast. Welcome, fellow travelers, to yet another episode of They Did It, a conspiracy podcast. I am your co-host, Jack Hanley, and with me as always is my conspiratorial partner in crime, Brian Bonner. Welcome, my friend.
You know, it's the only time anybody ever calls me conspiratorial.
If not here, where else can we indulge that?
Exactly.
To our listeners, welcome too. We are thrilled to be back here for season two, back in the studio. Always going down those rabbit holes so that you, dear listener, don't have to. So, Brian, kind of a fun topic today for on some level, as we discussed before the show, in many other ways, a very terrible episode in that this conspiracy is just embarrassing, as all are really, but this one in particular, we have a lot to say or to be disappointed in, perhaps. Well, but
I might be jumping the gun a little bit here, but you know, we always talk about how a lot of these conspiracies have some sort of a factual basis behind it. And I think that this one, it really, it's one of the few that don't. It's more just the current inherent fear of science.
Yes, fear and ignorance of science, of just the lack of scientific literacy, right? Not only in the world at large, but particularly in our good old US of A here. So, yeah. But to kick us off, kind of mixing it up a little bit from how we normally open, because rather than jump right into the conspiracy, I think, you know, mentioning what we just brought up about with scientific literacy, that I think there's a lot of folks out there, even our listeners, who may not be up to date on really knowing a lot about our subject today, or perhaps just have a rudimentary understanding of it. So, Brian, let's open by saying, what is CERN? Let's talk about it. How did it begin? Why is it important in terms of our scientific advancement? And why are people talking about it?
Well, I think one thing before we even go that far into it is, by definition, CERN is the organization. And the conspiracy is based around a piece of equipment that the organization uses.
Right, right.
So we're talking about the super collider, as it would be, or the Large Hadron Collider.
That's right.
Which is currently the world's largest particle accelerator. I mean, that's really pretty much the sum of what it does. It studies subatomic particles and how they interact with each other.
Right. And, you know, and again, we talked also about, too, one of the pleasures of this podcast, many pleasures, is we always get to delve in and kind of brush up again on some scientific elements. And, you know, for a lot of our listeners, they may know what we're really talking about here is, yeah, it's just basically the acronym for the European Council for Nuclear Research, or the Conseil Européen pour la Recherche Nucléaire. That was terribly pronounced, though, so apologies out there to my French listeners. But, right? But, this goes back to the 1970s. I mean, like, if you really go back historically here, right, for our listeners, I mean, we're talking about, 1897, a foundational jump off with the discovery of the electron by J.J. Thomson, and kind of changing how illuminating our understanding, rather, of the atom itself. And that was kind of the first recognition that the atom is itself made up of smaller components. But then jumping to Ernest Rutherford, as we discussed off mic, who applied testing on Thomson's model and set into motion the seeds for what would really essentially, Brian, be the entire reason for CERN later on, right? And that is the idea of trying to determine the properties of the atom by firing particles at it and observing the deflection. So essentially the first use of particle accelerators to determine atomic structure or particle physics, which launched it, right?
Yeah, and kind of like you're saying there, I mean, it goes back a ways. This was just a really good example of if we're going to do it, we're going to do it big, because that's what it's going to require. The bigger, the better. And I think that's probably what scared a lot of people away, too, because, you know, one of the big fights is the funding, but also the size of this thing terrifies people.
Sure, sure. I think the Europeanness of it all, the internationalness of it all, right, the otherness of it all, I think is really a factor as well. Basically for like where it's based and everything else. I mean, because, you know, of course, this, as we said, it's centered in Europe, specifically in Geneva. And, you know, anyone who recently watched Oppenheimer maybe became a little bit more enlightened again of kind of the state of post-war Europe, right? They're, you know, specifically the entire world bearing witness to what the harnessing of atomic power could do. And it heightened the fears of in mainland Europe that, number one, we have a lack of serious study of the doctrine here, We've seen what it can do, obviously, but also, some of our best and brightest scientific minds in the arena of physics have been poached by the West, where they had been put to work on various projects, right? Yeah, so, you know, basically, Europe at the time said, you know, we have to act. We need to come up with a counterpart to stay relevant. And they moved to establish a European Center for Nuclear Research. This is really all this is. So in 1954, which, Brian, I noted is 70 years ago this year, so happy birthday, CERN, 12 nations signed on to form the initial council. And what I would just love to also for our listeners to really understand, too, also heightening the absurdity of this conspiracy theory, is that the original charter of CERN, and still was then, still remains today, was just to try to determine the nature of the universe itself and to develop and employ the best particle accelerators to understand the structure of matter to achieve this aim and to become, I guess, the center of the universe, no pun intended, in the field of particle physics, and to provide a place where the best scientists in the world could gather to research. And it's in their charter that the research can only be used for peaceful purposes, not to align with any form of political or military influence, hence the nation chosen to house it, right? And most importantly, Brian, that all results would be made available to the public with complete transparency. And it really is. It's out there. It's adorable because I subscribe to CERN's subscription site online, and just daily they'll have just live feeds of repairing a leak or something like that, right? And in the LHC, or just kids doing experiments on site. I mean, it's for something that's asserted to be so secretive, it is hilariously transparent.
Well, yeah, it's one of the most open experiments I think there is.
And I actually love what it's been assigned, the idea that, I mean, it's obviously, this is truly an international organization, as we brought up. It grew from its original 12 member states to 23 current. There's 7 associate member states, including India and Pakistan. That will become relevant later on in our podcast. And many more with observer status, including the U.S. But most importantly, there's associations and cooperation agreements with over 600 institutes and universities that use CERN every day. And as you pointed out, right, it's referred to as the planet's literal largest science experiment.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things you brought up Oppenheimer, so I think I really have to bring this up while I'm thinking about it. With all of the conspiracies, especially a couple of them, it made me think of the line from Oppenheimer of, you know, when they were asking, you know, is there any chance that this device is going to, you know, set the atmosphere on fire? And the answer is, well, it's never 100% sure.
Those are the great moments of the, yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of that with, you know, the LHC. There's a lot of theoretical things out there. Is it going to happen? No. But are there a lot of things that might happen that we don't know about? Yeah.
Of course, right? And yeah, and obviously there's just also a fundamental anxiety that people have with what you pointed out earlier, with technology, with science in general, right? And especially with an ever-present anxiety about our own destruction and the ending of the world, which we'll all get into. But to kick us off into the conspiracy itself, and on this one, I brought some receipts to Brian, because I went on a website online called Voyager that was presuming to give some conspiracy. And reading directly from their comments, let me just quote you some of the things that were just posted as of yesterday concerning just a rudimentary explanation of what CERN is doing. And some of the comments are, they can't beat God and they will get their just dues, scientists presuming. Here's another one, makes sense that there would be an opening of portals. This happened right around the same time the Giants were seen at Miami at the mall. That one's a great one.
I thought those were aliens.
Right? Yes. Who can tell with CERN what CERN is up to, Brian? Another one, just look at the statue on the property of the super collider and all the other evidence that points to something or someone evil behind the whole thing.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think that this kind of just is a perfect segue into, let's examine kind of, let's start with an overview of some of the larger conspiracies attributed to CERN generically, but very specifically, the Large Hadron Collider, which is, as you mentioned earlier, created to really provide evidence for the discovery of the Higgs boson and for provide further proof, right, of the so-called standard model, or sort of unifying model explaining fundamental concepts of matter, which is a marvelously fascinating subject. This is among the episodes I've had the most fun just kind of revisiting and boning up again on the science behind it. It's so interesting. But let's deviate and go to the conspiracy, Brian. What is the overarching conspiracy surrounding this?
Oh, there are so many. However, I think probably, I don't know, I'm torn between two. But really, I think the biggest one is that it's going to create black holes and destroy the planet.
Yes, sure.
And
or at least the one that's been making the rounds on social media as of late. Yeah, that's a big one.
Well, and you know, once again, people don't understand what it is, how it works. And, you know, it can it do something? Even if it does, it's at a microscopic level.
That's the key point. Exactly right.
And generally, everything that it does, creates, however you want to put it, it's extremely, it has a very short half-life. It's really unstable. I hate to use the word unstable because it sounds dangerous, but unstable in the scientific way.
Right, right.
So I think that's really the biggest of the conspiracies. However, I think my favorite one is something that it appears that they created on their own. That there is a statue outside of the facility, which you kind of hinted at a little bit, of Shiva, which was donated for, you know, decorative purposes. But there is a video that popped up that shows a bunch of people kind of in a semicircle, black cloaks, and they appeared to be doing some sort of a human sacrifice. And that got leaked. I don't know if got leaked is really the right answer, though. Because I think it was that was their intent.
It was always their intent, I would argue. Yeah, we were talking about the famous, what's known as the CERN ritual hoax. That was back in 2016, I believe.
Yep, August 2016.
And you watched it, I believe, right when it came out, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I heard about it, and I'm like, uh-oh, I need to go watch this and see what it's all about. And yeah, sure enough, that's what I saw. And, you know, they did it so well, too. But the question is, if it was real, A, why would they have leaked it? But B, somebody had to have been in on it because it came from a security camera that was intentionally aimed in that direction from the facility. The facility has security. We know that.
Right, right. Requires pass cards with high credentials to get into certain areas. So absolutely. So yeah. And, you know, I want to jump back very quickly because I think you really hit upon the idea, even of your hesitation, which I think could be an overarching viewpoint surrounding this particular episode. And that is the hesitation to sometimes use terms that are regular nomenclature within the scientific community that somehow to the layman conjure up anxiety, right? Like we talked about unstable or things like that. And specifically around the Large Hadron Collider, we are talking about, when we say particle acceleration, we really mean acceleration. These are devices that are basically able to almost approach the speed of light. And by almost, we're also talking very close, Brian, right? It's I think we're able to achieve acceleration to 99.99999, if I've hit the correct number of nines, correct me, but of the speed of light, which to put it in, which I know people may not be able to rationale that out, but basically if that acceleration were actually racing light to the sun or to the moon, it would get there just about a meter's separation. So it's extraordinarily fast. And I think that conjures an immense anxiety in people, right? That we are, quote unquote, playing God, which I think is a fundamental component as to why so many conspiracy theories jump around it.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that you're playing God thing. That goes back to every scientific thing that's ever been done. I mean, you go back to the beginning of medical practice, and we shouldn't be doing that because you're playing God. It's just, that's what we do.
And, you know, and to also to jump to your point, which I think is brilliant that I hadn't thought about previously until you said it, was, yeah, there's also some, I think, some winking, cheeky activity by the scientists on site who also know that their research is, in fact, right, if not playing God, we are at least trying to displace God in the idea of the origins of the universe. And so I think they do a lot of playful aspects. I mean, even by the simple fact of trying to call it the God particle in and of its sense, right? Because we're basically trying to study what would have been, you know, nanoseconds after the Big Bang, and trying to study how the universe developed from there. In a sense, it is displacing God when we're able to find the scientific evidence as to formulate a theory of what happened.
Exactly. And, you know, we always talk about the othering on this podcast, because that seems to be a big topic when it comes to conspiracies.
God, it's a consistent one.
And, you know, with the video, most of the people jumped into it because they were terrified, because there's a statue of Shiva. In fact, that became a completely kind of separate conspiracy all on its own.
Yeah, yeah, which we'll talk about. And yeah.
And if you bring in a icon from any other religion that's not your own, it's evil. And, you know, the more westernized your religion, the more likely is that you know, the other religion is just evil, regardless of what it might actually be.
Oh, you're perfectly correct. And I think that's a really great transition here as we kind of just continue. And let's, now that we know what some of the most talked about things are. And by the way, some of these conspiracies are insanely recent. I think there was just another wave of the world ending or alternate universe conspiracy assertions surrounding CERN just about a month ago was another big one. In other words, much like all end times prophecies, that CERN will end the world, it seems like every year, or at least reliably every few years, right?
Well, the thing is, but
it's making its round again on TikTok particularly.
Yeah, I mean, any claims, you know, like the world is going to end, the UFOs are going to be disclosed, the, you know, whatever scientific breakthrough is going to happen within the next 10 years, and in 10 years, it's going to be in 10 years, because, you know, we expect things instantly, and if we're paranoid about it, you really expect it instantly when it's probably not real in the first place.
That's right. That's right. Well, and I think that you provide a perfect segue into our next segment, which is always that not only because this is a podcast and we ourselves have been trained, both of us have backgrounds in folklore and history and in scientific research, that we don't just take on the claims themselves and just directly try to do it. Like we look at the history of a conspiracy or the subject of our conspiracy, but also try to look for, okay, why, what are we hardwired as humans in a society or in our culture? Why are we sometimes, what are the precursors in our evolution of both culturally and intellectually and, you know, psychologically that make us prone to such things? And kind of laying out with this one, Brian, yeah, you did the perfect segue. Because for me, when I was examining it from a folkloric, you know, perspective of trying to trace back to its origins, this one weirdly fits the trifecta for like the perfect storm of conspiracy. So on one level, it's just the good old fashioned, as you brought up earlier, primal conspiratorial anxiety of technology, anything we don't understand, which reminded me, it made me go revisit our past episode on 5G that we did a while back. And it had me thinking too, okay, well, yeah, we talked about that fear of technology there too. And what do particle physics have in common with that other scientific technology with 5G? And right, we come back to both are pragmatically invisible forces, right? And they're being employed everywhere around us through the modern world and through technology. And yet both are seemingly only fully understood by scientists or by experts and authority figures. So this is like, goes back to that universal human fear of technology that we've always had.
Well, it does. And currently, and it has always existed, but currently we are in kind of a high point for the distrust of anything scientific and anything claimed to be an expert.
I think you're right. And yeah, so for our listeners, again, we've mentioned this in our other episode prior too, but that fear, that cultural fear of technology is not a new thing. I mean, we were once warned about the use of bicycles as being linked to insanity in the 19th century, or the New York Times, as we mentioned before, warned of the dangers of the telephone, telegraph, power lines, radio, television, all of these have once caused widespread panic and fear mongering surrounding their introduction and implementation, like from forks to the printing press. That's all usual. But you're right. We have really entered this moment now, too, where there is a new age, maybe ushering in a new sad age of anti-intellectualism that is paired with a fundamental spreading distrust of the expert class. And so, yeah, that I think we are in a heightened state again for that, sadly.
Oh, I agree. And I don't know, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. But, you know, in the long run, what kind of an impact is it going to have on places like CERN?
Yeah, no, I know. It's frightening when we examine it. And the other one for me, because I mentioned trifecta, I think number two, the other reason that this one carries on is this also, again, something you touched on, it plays to our inherent conspiratorial constructions of the other, but also international institutions that I found kind of interesting diving in, right? That's, that allusion to an often emerging conspiracy theory surrounding the secret emergence of a one world totalitarian government, right? Mm-hmm. That is placed through CERN itself because of its international status, right? And its international placement.
That's where you start to get that connection to, you know, one of the main conspiracies there of the Illuminati.
Yeah.
Because it is an international thing. It doesn't have to be just some American thing or just some, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
British or German or whatever thing. International makes it even more terrifying because there's no face to it.
Yeah, it really stokes that anxiety. I mean, I was kind of tracing its origins. And I mean, you know, even again, as early as the 19th century, a lot of, you know, and this will lead into the third part of the trifecta, but some of those early modern, like Judeo-Christian interpretations of what would be so-called biblical prophecy, and again, that was going on already, kind of like that fascination of both a longing for and an anxiety to end times, right? The end of the world, that sort of thing, annihilation. But then it got really linked more politically as well during all the Cold War rhetoric, where they were just trying to stir up fears of global domination of communism. So I think that, you know, tying it from just a general anxiety of like the world ending to also, you know, international cabals, foreign cabals, it really tied, and I was looking in research, it really took off in the 90s, specifically within two American countercultures. So you have the militant anti-government wing the far right militant anti-government wing, but then sects of very fundamentalist Christianity that are obsessed with these end time doctrines, right? And the emergence of the Antichrist, which will feed into the third and final one, which is our obsession with religiosity, right? Which I think plays a big one here.
It really does. I mean, and you know, kudos to them. They've played that one up.
God, they did. And yeah, and I think, you know, and this is one too where, again, sometimes we have times in our podcast where we also do a little slight tisk-tisk to the playfulness and the prankster nature of the scientific community. Because again, yeah, when you start tongue-in-cheekly talking, you know, tossing phrases around about playing God or displacing God, using God, you know, discovering God particles, you know, you suddenly have, you inherently conjure up for the for the scientifically illiterate, the idea of a displacement of God. And for a country that is so rabidly religious, like we are, more than any other of the what we call first world nations on Earth, right? I think, what are we still up into, like, the up to 85% of Americans in polls still, you know, claim to believe in angels, which is an absurdly high number comparatively to the rest of the world. So the moment you start talking about displacing the idea of God and therefore, by extension, the creation story, it inherently, that's like an anxiety that hits on a wide scale for the American populace and suggests an inversion of everything they believe in. And when you invert God, Brian, what are you left with? Well, you're left with Satan, right? The satanic. It's got to be inherently evil.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing. Anybody that has a very hard religious belief, if you disprove theirs, you're taking it to whatever they disagree with. So absolutely. You
know, that's a good point.
It becomes the evil.
Yeah. Yeah. Which we'll see in some of our more, as we take a look into probably, like we always like to do, our big three. Let's kind of slide a little bit to examine some of these a little bit closer.
Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's one that we did miss. The ability of the, and this is the conspiracy, the ability of the super collider to interfere with natural forces.
Yes.
So, you know, kind of like we were discussing before the show, a lot of things, a lot of the natural disasters, things like that are being blamed on the fact that it's doing what it's doing. But, you know, that kind of holds true with anything big and sciencey as it would be, because think about HAARP.
Yes.
You're talking about something that hasn't been turned on in a while, and, you know, it's causing that too. But it's so much easier to put the blame onto something than it is to either accept the blame or accept the I don't know what it is.
You're exactly right, and that's a perfect example also with the subject of another one of our episodes. So yeah, that actually came in as like the top one of the big three when researching about it, was that, yeah, CERN is playing with dangerous science that is directly responsible for the recent spate. And we always say recent spate. It's also like the old biblical prophecy of you'll know the end times when there are wars and rumors of wars. So you mean essentially forever, right?
Well, so. Yeah, if you look at the definition of, you know, what people believe are signs of the end of the world or whatever it may be, yeah, they have always been there.
And forever will be, right? So yeah.
As far back as we go, just like I was saying, you know, the world's going to end any minute now. Any minute now.
But, you know, yeah, and I find this is a bit more insidious, though, like an additional scientific slap, if you will, because it's tying that CERN, and as you mentioned before, HAARP, think this type of technology is somehow responsible or have a correlation to this certain rise we're seeing in a variation or rather uncommon natural disasters and weather phenomena, including flooding and earthquakes, when we actually know what is causing those, right? So it's not only just foolishly in the absurdity of trying to align this sort of thing with causing them. We're willing to believe the science, you know, that there's some sort of scientific correlation here, but we still can't accept that it's the origins of a man-made global warming, you know, phenomenon is astonishing.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, once you've made up your mind, people just cannot be swayed very easily. And especially, I mean, because of the big, you know, anti-science thing that's going right now, it's just a big feedback loop. Everybody's, you know, reinforcing everybody else's beliefs. So very, very rarely can, you know, a couple of people like us wander in and not sound like the crazy people.
Sure. Yeah. And so, well, so for this one, again, this was the danger, because although we had a lot of fun in the research of just the beauty and science behind what the mission of CERN is, there's not that much to talk about when we try to take on each individual conspiracy because they're just wrong and ridiculous and easily disprovable. So for those out there in this one, we can just effectively explain to you that and declare, I would argue, that both CERN or HAARP, you know, they're not involved with causing climate change or destroying the planet. These are scientific research components. One focuses on particle physics. The other one studies the ionosphere, and neither are contributing factors to weather change. So that one's pretty simple, I would argue. Brian, let's jump to this other one, because this is one that I think is – this is one that the second most popular one has been coming out recently on TikTok. And there's – it's also surrounding with a specific individual, which I'd love to see if you have heard about as well. So the second most popular one is that CERN itself, because of, as you mentioned, with its correlation idea with the possibility of black holes, whatever their size – but also the idea of other dimensionality being opened through portals. And that is the conspiracy that CERN has accidentally or intentionally opened a portal to another dimension, which has sent the Earth into an alternate timeline. And I see this one associated a lot with a very specific year, claiming that in 2012, since that time, Brian, you and I and this podcast and all our listeners have been living in an alternate universe timeline.
So what you're saying is the Mayans predicted.
Ah, you caught that reference, huh? We go back to it.
Yeah, I agree. You know, that's just silly enough that it works.
Well, and what's goofy about this one too is, so a lot of this though, what I found interesting, because I was acutely unaware, I would say probably, you know, it's a good thing you and I aren't very TikTok savvy, I suppose. It would be weird if we were really up to date on our TikTok trends. But this one specifically was given a lot of leg upping, if you will, by a 13-year-old self-proclaimed internet genius. And Brian, in your research, did you come across Max Laughlin yet?
No.
So this is what's absurd about this one. So apparently, because I had never heard it either, so kind of was tracing back. And apparently, there was a spate of TikTok videos by a 13-year-old kid. And this was a while back, as early as, I believe, like 2015 is when it first began, up until 2017 or 18. But basically, I mean, a genuinely a bright kid. I mean, it's pretty clear that the kid is bright. He's articulate. But started making TikToks, filmed by his father, apparently, basically as a teenager who was labeled a genius by apparently no other credential than just declaring himself, much like a Wile E. Coyote, that he's a super genius. And began to make waves when he claimed online through TikTok that he had developed a completely real energy device that gives the world infinite power. So that's a first big red flag, right? But then afterwards started to actually claim that, and his only fundamental proof was the Mandela effect, which we've talked about before on the show, but that the existence of the Mandela effect is proof that CERN somehow opened up a portal. You know, the Large Hadron Collider opened it up. So therefore, the reason the Mandela effect exists is because we're running into glitches within the alternate reality that we have been living in.
You know, as you were saying that, I was just trying to picture the bulletin board with all of the brain trying to connect this stuff, because they aren't even similar in nature. They aren't. It takes a special person to be able to say this was caused by this when the two aren't even possibly related with each other.
Well, no, exactly. And what I find fascinating too is this is a 13-year-old child with no credentials other than their own self-declaration online. No peer review papers to study or provide any evidence of this. And the fact that the countless websites and blogs and online people have been holding this child up as, you know, this prepubescent genius, as it were, that is existing this again is just horrifying. It's and I think he's since kind of gone offline a bit, which now has only fueled that is evidence itself that the International Order, the Illuminati, the New World Order, CERN are trying to shut him up.
Well, and that goes back to all the conspiracies that if you know they.
They're always on it, Brian, as we have learned. They simultaneously are so inept that they can't stop the conspiracy from leaking, yet are so powerful that they can immediately try to cover it up.
Yeah, it's the same old song.
Well, and that brings us to our third and final of the big one, because at least I will argue this is the most fun. And let's at least look again with it. And that is, and we touched on various points of this again, but that the statue on site, which we can maybe go into a little bit more explanation of, and the ritualism that we saw with the viral hoax proves that CERN is actually working actively under the auspices, Brian, of satanic forces, employing rituals and human sacrifice, trying to summon a portal to hell or summon the Antichrist. So, yeah, what do we think of that one?
I didn't know he had to be summoned. I thought he was going to be born. And
I'm glad that the Antichrist needs the help of the scientific community to come into the world.
Yeah, I've read all the literature, and there's nothing about summoning him to...
So just taking the two components of those, because we touched upon this again, and I think it's still, you can still go easily on YouTube and find this. Specifically, they're referring to, as Brian already brought up, that he got to watch live and I'm very envious when it first came out, the CERN ritual hoax. So it was purported to be this found footage video that was depicting a supposed occult ritual right on the grounds of CERN, right near the aforementioned statue. Showing folks dressed in black around the statue of Shiva, but also apparently conducting a human sacrifice. And the video ended when the person, dropped the camera and ran away, and it became, very popular at that time. But this was one that CERN itself had to basically come out and debunk.
Well, that's because they most likely made it.
Yeah, that's the real point, correct? Because, to even get there, it required it. So we can pretty much blame this one on the scientific community itself for the prank, right?
But, it kind of goes back, okay, so the belief is that they're doing this to summon a demon, open a portal, whatever it may be. And they're doing it in front of a statue of Shiva. If this goes back to what I was talking about before of the... If it is a representation of something from a religion that's not your own,
right,
it must be evil. And that's not always necessarily the case.
And I mean, in this particular case, too, I mean, obviously, as we brought up at the top of the episode, the statue itself is actually a gift to CERN, specifically for the admission of India and Pakistan into the association countries that are associated with CERN as a membership. So that was brought on as a gift. It's worth noting that this was actually done by an atheist artist, but specifically wanted to try to play with the idea of some of the mythology surrounding Shiva as a manipulator of a symmetry of the universe, right? And thus would be kind of a wonderful little nod to the circular nature, not only of the experiment itself, but also that idea of trying to bring a balance to the universe. What people latched onto, however, from a drastic misunderstanding of other people's religion, was also, all they had to latch onto was the term itself, or the idea that Shiva is... known often as God of Destruction, right?
Exactly.
Which, tying to Oppenheimer, is also wonderful there too. Both are destroyer of worlds, and therefore, what must that mean for CERN directly?
Absolutely. And, yeah, I mean, I It really annoys me when, you know, somebody's religion relies on just downplaying other religions as their sole basis.
Right, right. Well, but, you know, sadly, I mean, especially, and I would even argue, I think this is probably, you know, it's less prominent with some of even like the larger, you know, larger even Judeo-Christian monotheistic religions out there. So it's like, you know, probably less seen in bigger organizations like the Catholic Church or with like, you know, Jewish rabbis aren't necessarily doing this. But it's particularly within like evangelical Christianity, which requires no form of education to become a certified member of that doctrine to be preaching or discussing things about the world. You get a lot of that. I'm going to have to bring up a story here, Brian, that was just crazy because it just reminded me that when I was living in Central Florida and attending University of Florida there, we had some neighbor kids who used to come around and just, you know, kind of, you know, just in the neighborhood, they'd walk up and say hello and things. And their parents were part of a very, very weird, somewhat cultish evangelical sect I think it was even like further than like Assembly of God's speaking in tongues, you know, variation. But at one point I had some old coins because I used to collect coins as a kid, and I had a lot of foreign coins, and you really couldn't get much for them. They weren't that valuable. And I gave them to the kids as kind of like interesting trinkets. And I was told by them a week later when I had asked them, I said, "Do you need protectors for the coins to protect it?" And they said, they informed me that no, my parents took it to church and their church had thrown them all away, but not before praying over the foreign coins because they had to be satanic because they came from places as diverse as China or India.
Yeah.
And literally tried to cast demons out of just foreign currency. It's astonishing, right? But that's literally what's happening here. Just merely having that statue there is the precursor to believe a correlation with it's foreign, it's not our Christian God, it must be evil.
Absolutely. And, you know, that I wonder, and I really haven't dived into it, how localized to the U.S. most of the conspiracies around this are.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're dead on. I think you're absolutely right, because on this particular one too, it also has like a weird balance. I'm so glad you brought that up, because it's a lot of it is based off of it's much more profound in America as a conspiratorial belief, right? Because also America is much more actively engaged in our conspiracy against government and against that idea of an international world order. So it also ticks that box as well. But also even just the idea of like the study of like the nuclear scientific community and advancements in nuclear energy, for instance, are far more accepted even within certain pockets of Europe than in the United States.
Well, and there's a whole other rabbit hole we could go down right there. But
I know.
For another show.
Because as we mentioned prior, yeah, we never run out of topics. So, all right. Well, you know, as we've come to the close of this, looking at CERN, as we mentioned before, folks, the actual CERN itself is dedicated to public education, the public trust, and complete transparency. So I urge you, if you want to learn more about this topic, go out and visit CERN online. You can find it at home.cern, CERN. And it is one of the, you know, of course, the world's largest and most respected centers for scientific research. And they have some splendid daily videos that drop showing absolutely everything. It covers not only who they're about and what their mission is, but they also just film and disseminate live to stream for you most, if not all, of their experiments. Because again, it's all about transparency and the advancement of humanity through science. So again, CERN, we wish you happy birthday and we wish you well in your endeavors. And just one of those ones where, you know, we have some of our episodes, Brian, right, where we can go 2 hours on a topic, but this one is just so foolish there's not that much to say other than, you know, we need to have more scientific literacy.
Well, and you know, the big punchline to this almost is they are currently in, I'm going to say, design and proposal mode for a much bigger one in the same area. This thing is almost four times as long and roughly six times more powerful. And if everything goes right, we're looking at within the next roughly, I'll say up to about 2027 of approvals and design and all of that. And then they're saying hopefully by 2040 it would be completed.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Of course, this will lead to the next level of conspiracy. But for those of us in the scientific community, it is an astonishing and fascinating and congratulatory feat. I noted this year too from the sites that among the other scientific advancements, just this last year in 2023, lead ions were colliding there in the LHC for the first time in 5 years, and collider neutrinos were observed for the first time. So we are really getting some amazing and astonishing advancements here. So good on you, CERN. Continue with your work. And for those who want to also follow them on, I guess, formerly Twitter, it's so weird to keep saying X, but CERN there, you can visit at CERN and also follow all of their announcements of their scientific experiments and findings. So this is one where we really urge you to just go out there and indulge and engage more in science and just really learn how you can help support the endeavors there.
Oh, absolutely. They're doing great work.
So, Brian, as we come to the close of this episode, what do we have in store for us on our next episode?
Weeks and weeks of headaches from doing the research. other than that, I would say it's an old one, but a good one. How about we do fluoride, fluoridation?
Oh, yes. And again, like when you hear about like the vaccination for measles and things like that, you would think this is one that had been put to bed a long time ago, Brian.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's really strange because it's kind of made a comeback lately.
Oh, I know. It's well, and I think part of it is as we had also just discussed at a recent event, we were just hanging out, just again, this new rise of the so-called wellness movement, right? The pseudoscience of trying to return to a state of a purity and naturalness that's free from scientific or governmental interference, right? By authority. Right. Harkening back to the good old days when we had an average lifespan of about 30 years old.
Well, you know, there is that.
Oh, yeah. So shamefully, shame on you, America. We should not have to do an episode about fluoridation conspiracy theories, but we will be there as usual to go down those rabbit holes so you don't have to. Brian, thank you again for joining us on this podcast. And and our listeners, thank you. Thank you for being a part of this as well. We hope you get out there and CERN it up in your research and subscribe and learn all about it and help bring up the next generation, please, of Americans and human beings with an appreciation and love for science, rationality, and intellectualism. That is the good work that you can do, and we hope you will do so. So, Brian, thank you again, and I'm looking forward to seeing you next week or next episode.
Next, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. However long it takes us to go down that rabbit hole. So thank you, listeners. We really love and appreciate you. Thank you for your support. We just got notification through one of our parent sites there with Buzzsprouts that we recently have had. We're approaching 10,000 downloads, and we love and appreciate that. That is all due to you. So thank you again for that. We really appreciate it. And we wish you an amazing good rest of your week and onward science. Thank you for listening.